text we're going to use this morning, perhaps predictably, is from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them and rested on each. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these aren't drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, again, happy Pentecost. Doesn't seem to quite have the same oomph as perhaps it once did. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen what that was like, to have been in that upper room when the Spirit descended upon those apostles, to have heard that mighty wind, to have seen those tongues of fire over the heads of the disciples, to suddenly be filled with such a sense of purpose and certainty, and to suddenly be gifted with what I needed in order to do that job. I can only imagine what that must have been like. And now here we are. And I hear no mighty wind. And I see no tongues of fire. And far from a sense of certainty, a lot of churches today are scratching their heads, wondering just what in the world they should be doing. I miss those days. A
It must have been nice, but I suppose it was also a little bit dangerous. After all, those apostles who received the Holy Spirit, the majority of them went off to their deaths in one way or another in pursuit of following that purpose to tell the story, to give witness. It was a dangerous time because the church was being oppressed at that time. But one thing about the church, oppression has always been good for it. It seems like any time the church endures hardship, any time the church has to go underground, it ends up emerging even stronger. What's the old phrase? Whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And the one that we follow, he was killed, and he was stronger yet. So we can't lose. As far as I know, no one in America is being martyred for their faith. Other parts of the world, people do sometimes risk their lives in order to follow Jesus. Here, not so much. Our problem seems to be not that we're being oppressed, but that we're being ignored. Or worse yet, people think we're boring. A couple generations have looked at the church and thought, yeah, I'd rather sleep in Sunday morning. And in some ways, I don't blame them. Because where's that Holy Spirit? Was that something that just happened 2,000 years ago, like the Big Bang? And now, here, over 2,000 years later, we can pick up faint traces of the radiation, but the fire's gone. The Sunday school kid still in me wants to raise his hand and say, no. The Holy Spirit is what continues to guide and sustain us. But even as I say it, it sounds a little hollow. Because I look around and go, well, where's my guidance? Where's my sustenance? You know, Peter received the Holy Spirit and he got up and he gave a sermon and he converted, what, 5,000 people? You're a pastor, is that right? 5,000? Thank you. 5,000 people. I wasn't sure my number there. I'm getting up to preach a sermon. I'd be really lucky if I got one. But even then, I'm not so sure. It's all I can do to preach in English, let alone trying to do it in Hebrew or Greek or Cyrene or Phrygian or any of those other languages. I can't even speak Spanish. But, you know, his sermon was not very flashy. The sermon Peter gave when he got up was just to say, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. And you know what? You idiots crucified the Messiah. And with that, he converted 5,000 people? I guess that's what the Holy Spirit can do. I kind of envy Pentecostals on a day like this. I envy their ability to get up and speak in tongues. They're rolling around in ecstasy. Lutherans are a little more reserved. But you know, when Jesus talks about the Spirit, he doesn't call it the Spirit of tongues or the Spirit of ecstasy. When he talks of the Spirit, he calls it the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth will come to you and reveal everything that the Father has shown me. The truth ain't always what it's cracked up to be. The truth is not always comfortable. The truth is not always palatable, such that sometimes we find it easier to live with our more comfortable half-truths than it is to live with a complete truth. But the problem with the truth is that once you've seen it, he says, taking off his glasses, once you've seen it, you can't go back. Once you know what the truth is, it's awfully hard to go back and start living a lie. And you are here this morning because somewhere along the line, you experienced that truth. Whether it came to you in hearing Scripture, whether it came to you in some act of charity or grace or forgiveness, whether it came to you in a life lived well, someone modeling what a fullness of life can look like, somewhere along the line, you encountered that truth enough to bring you back even to a reserved Lutheran service to get more of that truth. The truth unsettles our spirit such that we begin to fit poorly into this world. We begin to feel like a square peg in a round hole because we have seen the kingdom of God. We have seen it described and lived by Jesus. And having tasted that kind of radical inclusion, that kind of grace, that kind of justice, we want more. And so we keep looking for it. Our unsettledness is evidence that that Spirit is still at work in the world, that the kingdom of God still has power to transform us and to transform the world around us. I cannot speak in tongues, but you can. We can. One of you can speak from experience on what it's like to be depressed and to bring comfort to someone else who is. One of you can speak with that kind of passion for justice that will not rest until others are given the help they need. One of you has the voice to speak to someone who is grieving the loss of a loved one and to bring comfort to them. Together we can speak in a multitude of voices and bring that truth to the world. That unsettling truth that when the world says me, we say we. When the world says power, we say justice. When the world says exploit, we say love. We, by the power of that Spirit,
And by the multitude of voices we can raise, continue to blow as a mighty wind across this world, so that others might see the truth as well. And as for those tongues of fire, when you were baptized, when you were brought to that font, and the water was poured over your head, and the word of God, the promise, was spoken over you, someone lit a candle, and that fragile flame was passed on with the words, "Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that flame continues to burn over your head, just as that cross continues on your forehead as a sign of being called, as a sign of the purpose and the mission that is ours. And it's a simple mission. When we get anxious, we start to lose faith that God can do what God promises. And so we start thinking we got to take this thing in hand ourselves and make it happen. The Holy Spirit isn't here anymore, so we need to come up with some great programs. We need to make our services more accessible. We need to speak in simpler and friendlier language. We need to find out what people want and give it to them. But our mission is simply to bear witness to the truth, to let that Spirit of truth flow through us such that others can see it clearly. We, as we start to live into that truth, like a candle put on a lampstand, shed a little light on those around us so that they catch fire too. And the truth grows. And the body of Christ expands. And the truth one day becomes evident for everyone. Amen.